The Healer, The Healing Work of Mary Baker Eddy, compiled and arranged by David Keeston, Part 4, 7th Continuation, Number 144. In another case, when Mrs. Eddy lived on Columbus Avenue in Boston, she became fond of a neighbor's child, a little girl, who had never walked. Not seeing the child for several days, she called at her home to inquire about her. The child's mother, in great sorrow, replied that the child had been taken ill and had just died. Mrs. Eddy then asked to see the child and to be left alone with her. The mother assented reluctantly, saying that nothing could be done, it was too late. When left with the child, or with its lifeless body, Mrs. Eddy took it in her arms and began to pray, becoming conscious only of infinite life, truth, and love. She became oblivious of the material situation until the child recalled her to human surroundings by sitting up and asking for her mother. Then, when the mother came in response to Mrs. Eddy's summons, the child ran to her, enabled to use her limbs as well as restored to life. It is interesting that the child walked even though being lame, had never learned to walk before. From Acts. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Number 145. I applied for admission to the Metaphysical College, and at the close of the class, I came to New York at the request of my dear teacher, Mrs. Eddy. This was early in October, 1885. I had been in this city over a year when Mrs. Eddy sent for me to come to Boston to spend Sunday with her. She asked me no questions about my heart, although she told me 9 years after that she had sent for me because of what one of her other students had said about me. One of them had called upon me in New York and later told Mrs. Eddy that I was in a very bad condition physically, that my heart constantly made a creaking noise, such as a gate would make when swinging on a rusty hinge. When it was time for dinner, I accompanied Mrs. Eddy to the dining room, which was in the basement of the house. On returning to the parlor, she ran up the stairs like a little girl. I was ashamed not to make at least an effort to do the same, but for 24 years I had never run upstairs. This time I did go as fast as she did, but when I reached the top step, I was in a sorry plight. How I looked, I cannot tell. I only knew that I was seized with one of my old attacks, when it seemed as though an iron hand gripped my heart and was squeezing the very life out of it. She gave me one glance, and then, without asking me a question, she spoke aloud to the error. We are told that when Jesus healed the sick, he spoke as one having authority. As I look back on that wonderful event, I do not remember that the thought came to me at the time that she was healing me. A few months after, I was seized with another attack, but it lasted only a moment and went, never to return. That was 18 years ago. From Luke. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Number 146. The second healing the compiler has ever encountered performed by Mrs. Eddy that was not instantaneous was a case where she restored the eyesight. In this case, an engineer whose eye had been put out by a hot cinder was treated by Mrs. Eddy. She gave him a treatment, and an eye was manifested, but it was smaller than the other and deficient. She is reported to have looked at it and said, Is it possible that my understanding of God is as little as that? The eye was perfect. From Mark. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. This instance of one of the Master's healings shows that two treatments were necessary in that case as well. Number 147. Annie Louise Robertson tells in her memoirs of some of the healings that took place when Mrs. Eddy spoke in Tremont Temple. A friend who had persistently clung to an unreasonable dislike for Mrs. Eddy told me that as Mrs. Eddy was coming down the aisle, she, this friend, turned and looked into Mrs. Eddy's face, and her resistance melted away completely. Her eyes filled with tears, and after that, she was absolutely loyal to our leader. There were many other similar experiences which I heard of at the time. Number 148. One young man who frequently went to hear Phillips Brooks preach at Trinity Church on Sunday morning and Mrs. Eddy preach at Hawthorne Hall in the afternoon suggests something of the difference in his reminiscences. Brooks, the great-hearted Episcopalian who regarded preaching as the bringing of truth through personality, delivered an Easter sermon which the young man found eloquently uplifting. But Mrs. Eddy, he wrote, seemed, with less eloquence, to carry him right to the sepulchre where Jesus stepped forth in spiritual triumph. Resurrection, as she presented it, was more than history or symbol. It was present fact. That was the way it looked also to those sick and crippled people who came to the services and walked out well and sound. In healing, Mrs. Eddy made clear apostolic and scientific Christianity were one. Healing was both sacrament and validation. From Matthew. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Again from Matthew. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Number 149. When Joseph S. Eastman, a simple sea captain of Spanish or Portuguese extraction, returned from a long voyage to Peru to find his bedridden wife in worse condition than ever, he came to Mrs. Eddy, of whom he had just heard, to ask her to take the poor woman's apparently hopeless case. To his utter astonishment, she asked him earnestly, Captain, why don't you heal your wife yourself? In some bewilderment, Eastman enrolled in her next class, and by the end of the brief term, his wife had recovered sufficiently to accompany him to the final session. That one lesson, he wrote later, dispelled her every doubt as to whether Christian Science had any kinship with mesmerism or spiritualism, for which she had strong antipathies. A somewhat similar healing had taken place when Dr. Silas Sawyer of Milwaukee came to study with Mrs. Eddy a year earlier, bringing his invalid wife Jenny with him. While it seemed impossible at first that Mrs. Sawyer would be able to sit up through the daily classes, she not only succeeded in doing so, but came out of the course healed. At the end, Mrs. Eddy asked her what she was going to do with what she had learned. As Mrs. Sawyer recounted it later, I answered, I am filled with wonderful truth. I do not know what I am to do with it. Then Mrs. Eddy said in the most convincing way, You are going to heal with it. Shortly after, she returned home. She did precisely that, healing a number of cases. From Luke. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Number 150. Lillian Whiting, a Boston reporter with The Traveler, wrote of her experience meeting Mrs. Eddy for an interview. I went, as I have already said, in a journalistic spirit. I had no belief or disbelief, and the idea of getting any personal benefit from the call, save matter for press use, never occurred to me. But I remembered afterward how extremely tired I was as I walked rather wearily and languidly up the steps to Mrs. Eddy's door. I came away, as a little child friend of mine expressively says, skipping. I was at least a mile from the Hotel Vendome, and I walked home feeling as if I were treading on air. My sleep that night was the rest of Elysium. If I had been caught up into paradise, it could hardly have been a more wonderful renewal. All the next day, this exalted state continued. I can hardly describe it. It was simply the most marvelous elasticity of mind and body. In the evening, I had callers, and I told of my visit to Mrs. Eddy, and later chanced to allude to the unusual and indeed utterly unprecedented buoyancy and energy I was feeling. "Why, that's the result of your going to Mrs. Eddy," exclaimed a friend. From Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Number 151. When Judge Hannah wrote Mrs. Eddy, he had a pain. She replied, That pain is not a pain, and you know it. That was the end of it. It was animal magnetism, the term used by Mrs. Eddy for evil, or the claim of life, substance, and intelligence in matter. Number 152. One day, our leader illustrated how it takes moral courage to do one's duty. She told of a gentleman who was in a streetcar in Boston and had his little daughter with him. The child wanted to sit on his knee and put her head on his shoulder and go to sleep. And he would not allow her to do that, insisting that she should stand and move about. His treatment of the child seemed so cruel that a scientist who was sitting in the seat behind him spoke to him and asked what was the trouble. He explained that the child had unknowingly taken some poison, and he was on the way to a physician to give her an antidote. And if he allowed her to lie down and go to sleep, she might never waken again. Our leader wanted to show me how we needed such arousals if our eyes were not open to detect the error which must be overcome, or it would put us to sleep. Number 153. In 1886, while Miss Mary H. Crosby, afterward Mrs. Mary H. Mahon, was a student at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston, an illness from which she suffered resulted in the advice from her physician that the lining of her stomach was destroyed and that she should return to her home, prepared to live only a short time. Hearing of Miss Crosby's distress, a lady connected with the conservatory recommended that she call on Mrs. Eddy, who conducted the Massachusetts Metaphysical College in Boston, and was said to heal as Jesus did. Accordingly, Miss Crosby called on Mrs. Eddy, who listened to her story, but did not promise to treat her. In the evening of that day, however, the conditions of which she spoke to Mrs. Eddy disappeared, and Miss Crosby found herself entirely healed from them. From Matthew. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Number 154. In 1886, Irwin L. Coleman of Omaha was in Boston as a pupil in a class that Mrs. Eddy was teaching. His wife, Janet T. Coleman, was in Omaha expecting the birth of a child. During a session of the class, he received a telegram that his wife was dying in childbirth. Mrs. Eddy saw him get it and leave the classroom. Following him, she inquired as to what he had heard, and he showed her the telegram. Then she assured him that his wife would not die. She would recover. He could return to the class. This he did, and as events proved, Mrs. Coleman was delivered quickly and safely. Afterward, she had a long and useful career as a practitioner and teacher of Christian Science. From John. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Number 155. Edward A. Kimball, a Christian Science lecturer and teacher, had suffered many years with a condition that made him cross and irritable, and from which he gained only temporary relief through Christian Science. Finally, it became so aggravated, he wired Mrs. Eddy that he wanted to see her, and she wired back telling him to come. As he sat in the parlor waiting for her, he began to have misgivings, because he realized that under this claim he was so touchy that he was hardly fit to talk to anyone, even to his own family. He began to wonder how he was going to appear, even civil, before her. When he heard her step on the stair, he wanted to run out of the house. She entered the room, paused on the threshold, and holding out both her hands, she advanced to him and said, "Doesn't it make one cross to be sick?" Then, without a word from him, she changed the subject and began to talk about other things. She never referred to his reason for coming to Boston all the while he was there. His summary of this interview was, "I had never been so loved in all my life." Number 156. Mother told me that when she was first at Chickering Hall, holding services and preaching, the caretaker one Sunday brought his daughter, who was ill with consumption, and who had a distressing cough. After the congregation left the building, she was sitting in one of the end seats, waiting for her father. As Mrs. Eddy went down the aisles to go out the front door, she saw the little girl and noticed how ill she looked. She stopped and spoke to the child and said to her, "Don't you know, dear, that you haven't any lungs to cough with or be consumed? You are God's child." And she talked the truth with her and told her that she was God's idea, and to know that she was well. And the child stopped coughing and was instantly healed. When her father came to take her home, he was amazed to find that she was well. Number 157. It was Mrs. Eddy's habit to take a daily ride in her carriage. The horses were harnessed in the carriage house, and then the rig was driven around to the carriage entrance of the house, where Mrs. Eddy was waiting. One day, the groom found that Major had injured his foot very badly on a nail. He sent the stable boy to tell Mrs. Eddy that Major was injured and would not be able to walk. The boy returned with a message from Mrs. Eddy that Major was to be harnessed and the drive would take place as usual. As they were harnessing the horses, Mrs. Eddy suddenly appeared on the scene. She walked up to the animal, put her hand on his neck, and said, "Major, you have been listening to stable talk. Now come on and mind your own business." They went for the drive, and Major was perfectly well. See also Fragments Gathered from Unpublished Items, Carpenter, page 186. Number 158. Abigail Dyer Thompson was healed by Mrs. Eddy at two different times as a child. Her healings appeared in the Christian Science Sentinel. From her babyhood, Miss Thompson was a delicate child. She was believed to have inherited a tendency to lung trouble, and physicians expressed the opinion that she would not live to maturity. Once, when this disorder was especially evident, her mother, one of Mrs. Eddy's students, took Miss Thompson to call on Mrs. Eddy in Boston. As soon as Mrs. Eddy heard the child cough, she gave Miss Thompson one treatment, which erased every vestige of the dreaded disease and completely freed her from the believed liability to it. A year or so later, when Miss Thompson was again in Boston with her mother, she was stricken suddenly by an acute and severe malady of a different kind. For 2 weeks, first one practitioner and then another failed to furnish relief. Finally, at 5 o'clock one morning, when Miss Thompson had seemed to endure as much pain as she could possibly stand, her mother went to Mrs. Eddy's home to beseech her help. Mrs. Eddy heard the talking in her hall, and as she afterward told Mrs. Thompson, "I said to myself, it is time for me to step in on this case and save that child." Then, hurrying back to my room, I dropped into a chair and immediately reached out to God for the healing. Miss Thompson responded to Mrs. Eddy's mental work instantly. She was much better before her mother returned, and in a few days she traveled 1,500 miles to their home in perfect freedom. From Science and Health. The author has healed hopeless organic disease and raised the dying to life and health through the understanding of God as the only life. It is a sin to believe that aught can overpower omnipotent and eternal life, and this life must be brought to light by the understanding that there is no death, as well as by other graces of spirit. We must begin, however, with the more simple demonstrations of control, and the sooner we begin, the better. From Mark. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Number 159. A letter of December 13, 1886, from Mrs. E. C. Haywood, thanking her for the good she had done Mrs. Haywood's teenage daughter. "The eve she called to see you at the college, she said, the minute you came into the room, it seemed as though an electric shock went all over her, and she seemed lifted beyond the earth. Since then, she has appeared like another child, and since coming to Worcester, people still ask what she has done to herself. And she says, 'I've seen Mrs. Eddy.'" Mrs. Haywood went on to say that the girl had had a slight impediment in her speech, which entirely disappeared that night. From Luke. "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God." Number 160. Mrs. Eddy's correspondence is laced with healings, direct and indirect, recounted by her students. Mrs. A.M. Harvey wrote her on May 31, 1886, after returning to Cincinnati from primary class with Mrs. Eddy, that she found her patients all healed. "I was so delighted to see them so happy. It is wonderful, they said, that you could make us so strong and well, and us here in Cincinnati." Number 161. Mrs. Eddy brought up the definition of God in class given in Science and Health, page 587, line 5, and that through the understanding of this, she had healed a man of blindness, whose eyeballs had been destroyed and the eyes were restored completely. Someone in the class asked, "If mind is all that sees, why was it necessary for the eyeballs to be restored?" Mrs. Eddy replied, "Ah, I anticipated that you would ask that question. The effect of Christian Science treatment is this. Science restores that standard of perfection which mortal mind calls for. If the eyeballs had not been restored, no one would have believed him when he said he could see." Every healing performed by the Master confirms this Christianly scientific axiom. Number 162. Another instance of healing that took place in the late 1800s was recorded in the first edition of Irving C. Tomlinson's book, 12 Years with Mary Baker Eddy. "I was called by a broken-hearted mother to attend her young son, who was afflicted with ankylosed joints. The bones of the knees appeared to be solidified, and the verdict of the doctors was a hopeless case. The boy will never be able to walk again. I treated the little fellow and told his mother that she need have no further fear, for her son would be able to walk and run with other children. 3 days after, the boy was playing in the yard with his companions. An acquaintance who saw him romping with his friends asked him what business he had to be out there, and told him to go into the house and stay there. The response from the little fellow was, 'You are not my doctor. Mrs. Eddy is my doctor, and I can play if I want to.' Sometime later, his mother brought him to me to thank me for his wonderful healing. As he walked across the floor, I noticed that he toed in with one foot and spoke to him of it. He said, 'My mama said I should tell you about that. I have always walked that way.' I told him to walk in the right way, just like the other little boys. He did so at once, being healed instantaneously, and ever after walked naturally." From Science and Health. "Truth casts out error now as surely as it did 19 centuries ago."